think we got all four up there, but we'll sing two today. All right, turn with me in your pew Bible this morning, or you have your own Bible with you, to Genesis chapter 10, verses 1 through 32. Now, let me just give you a little bit of work here ahead of time so you know what's going on. Next week, we'll do chapter 11, obviously, right? And it's called, entitled, The Tower of Babel. And here's what I want you to know this morning. Genesis 10 happens after Genesis 11. And so I want you to think about it. And that kind of a, when I read it to you this morning, I want you to understand that, assume that the Tower of Babel has taken place, and we'll learn more about that next week. And now we see this dispersion of God's people throughout the world. And this is how this will go in chapter 10. And I'm also going to tell you that there is a ton of Old Testament names. And I got everyone down just right. So, bear with me, all right? It could be interesting. There's a lot of names in here this morning that you might not have heard of about. So, Genesis chapter 10, and it's called the Table of Nations. And the reason that name is given is because it's a chart. And if you have your outline with you this morning, you got to go home and get some glasses on. At least I do, because it's pretty small, because I couldn't get it all in there. So I had to shrink it a little bit. But it gives you the three sons of Noah and all their descendants for a few generations. And these are the nations that get spread out throughout the earth. And you know that all people come from those nations. And so we're going to learn about these different nations this morning. So let's dig into this today. The Table of Nations, Genesis chapter 10. This is the account of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah's sons, who themselves had sons after the flood. And then, of course, we're going to have a breakdown of the three sons and then all their descendants by the sons. So the Japhethites, the sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tyrus. The sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz, Ripath, and Togomar. The sons of Javan, Elisha, Tarshish, the Kittim, and the Rodanim. From these, the maritime people spread out into their territories by their clans within their nations, each with its own language. The Hamites, the sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush, Saba, Havilah, Sabtah, Ramah, and Sabeka. The sons of Ram, Sheba, and Dedan. Cush was the father of Nimrod, who grew to be a mighty warrior on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. That is why it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord, which you can find in a later chapter in the Bible. Not in Genesis, but I believe in the book, maybe either through the Judges or through Job, you'll find that verse in there. Don't quote me on that, but one of those. The first centers of his kingdom were Babylon, Erech, Akkad, and Kelna in Shinar. From that land he went to Assyria, where he built Nineveh, Rehoboth, Kala, and Rezin, which is between Nineveh and Kala. That is the great city. Mizraim was the father of the Ludites, Anamites, Lehabites, Naphtuhites, Pothrasites, Cushites, from whom the Philistines came, and Captorites. Canaan was the father of Sidon, his firstborn, and of the Hittites, the Jebusites, Amorites, Girgashites, Hivites, Arkites, Sinites, Arvidites, Semarites, and Halmathites. Later, the Canaanite clan scattered, and the borders of Canaan reached from Sidon toward Gerar, as far as Gaza, and then toward Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboim, as far as Lasha. These are the sons of Ham, by their clans and languages, and their territories and nations. The Semites, sons were also born to Shem, whose older brother was Japheth. Shem was the ancestor of all the sons of Eber. The sons of Shem, Eber, Asher, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. The sons of Aram were Uz, Hul, Gather, and Meshech. Arphaxad was the father of Shelah, and Shelah the father of Eber. Two sons were born to Eber. One was named Peleg, because in his time the earth was divided. His brother was named Joktan. Joktan was the father of Alamad, Shaleph, Harzamavath, Jera, Hardaram, Uzal, Dikla, Obal, Abimael, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, and Jabob. All these were sons of Joktan. The region where they lived stretched from Mesha toward Sephar, in the eastern hill country. These are the sons of Shem by their clans and languages in their territories and nations. These are the clans of Noah's sons according to their lines of descent within their nations. From these, the nations spread out over the earth after the flood. Did you get all those names? That's a few. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we see a genealogy today, and sometimes it's hard to wrap our mind around genealogies and why are they there? And Lord, we know there's important lessons in this message today, and so we pray that your Holy Spirit be just unleashed on us today. Lord, that you teach us what you have for us in Genesis chapter 10. Lord, we pray that you bless those that have gathered here with your Spirit, open their hearts, minds, and souls to receive your teaching. And Lord, I pray that these words are yours and never mine. And Lord, may that same Spirit fill me as I bring your message to your people today. In whom I pray, amen. I have a little bit of trivia for this morning. Since we're talking about different languages today, here's my first question. How many languages are used in the world today? Anybody have any kind of a guess or an estimate of how many there are in the world today? 150, 200. All right, it's almost like an auction going on out here, isn't it? Right? Well, here's your number right here, and it will probably shock you. 8,324 languages are documented. Of those, 7,000 are still used today. Now, there's different dialects and stuff like that, different tribal groups and all kinds of things that live throughout the world. And so that's what we're dealing with, all right? I have another question for you then this morning when it comes to language. What are the top five languages spoken in the world today? What do you think number one is? English. Correct, English. Anybody want to guess what the second one is? Oh, Spanish. Okay, here's your list right here. French is number two, Spanish three, Arabic is four, and Mandarin is number five. Has anybody heard anybody speak in Mandarin? I have not. Some of you have. Okay. I didn't know that that was that popular of a language. But here's my point that I want to bring to you this morning. So then, how do we get to all these different kind of languages throughout the world? Why do we all speak different languages? And so we're going to learn about this a little bit the next 2 weeks, today and next week Sunday, as we talk about the Tower of Babel and what God's purpose was in having this mixture of language take place. But this morning, I'm going to focus on Genesis chapter 10, more or less the dispersion of God's people after the Tower of Babel, which we'll talk about next week. And so, and I've told you that the Genesis 10 is referred to as the Table of Nations because we have this whole list of this whole genealogy of God's people from Noah's three sons, and then we move out from there. And so, if you count all the names, here's some interesting facts I'm going to give you this morning for your Bible nugget people today. If you were to count all the names of the descendants of Noah's children, which I just read to you, you'd come up with 70 names, and they all have a distinct people group that are tied with them. All right? Kind of interesting, isn't it? 70 nations would come out of Noah's three boys, and then they would be dispersed throughout the world. And so when I talk about the Table of Nations, I'm referring to all the people on the earth in Noah's time. Everybody that was alive. Noah lived to be a very old man. You knew that. He lived 100 or so years after the flood and so on. And out of those nations, here's where out of the three sons that I've talked to you about, Noah's three sons, these are the nations that came from each one. 30 nations from Ham, 26 come from Shem, and 14 come from Japheth. That's scattered throughout the world. Now, jump with me to the New Testament. I want to show you how some interesting things here of how the old always ties with the new and vice versa, and how we need to preach from both the Old and the New Testament today. Very important. And so there's a Bible verse on the screen. It's on the bottom, Luke 10, verse 1. And I put the King James Version up there this morning because I think it does a little bit better job of explaining to us what's going on. So Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says this to them. Now, I want you to remember how many nations came from Noah and dispersed throughout the world. And Jesus says this to them. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and he sent them out two by two. Now, if you have an NIV Bible, which we have in our pew, You would notice that it says 72. Anybody ever catch that? In the King James Version of the Bible, it will say 70. And, it is, and I want to give you a little bit of history in the printing of these two Bibles so you know this morning. The one is actually recorded. Make sure I got this right here. The King James Version is recorded for the Masoretic text, which states 70. Two different texts were given then. And so then the NIV would have come from the Greek text, which would have given 72. But here's the point I want to make with you this morning. Don't get hung up on the number. What Jesus is saying there, as it refers to all the nations of Noah and his boys, is that you make sure that everyone knows the Word of God. And Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Jesus tied that together with Noah's family. He would have known that, being God. He would have known his Old Testament. And he made sure when he spoke that all people need to know who I am. Tell the world, wherever they live. And now today we know that we have thousands of people groups that live throughout the world, and there are more than 70 today. When you start to count up the people groups, we can see that by the languages that are spoken today. So let's start out first with some history about these three sons and their families. The first one is Japheth. For much of the Old Testament, we don't hear a lot about Japheth's family or his descendants. But let me just tell you a little bit about who they are and maybe where they live, and so you got an understanding. I have a picture on the screen up there, and you probably can't see it very well, but it's a picture of the continents of the Middle East, and you got Africa, and you got Europe in there. And the different families, they kind of descended to different parts of the world. If you look, Ham's family kind of all descended down towards Africa. Japheth's family, they went up into Europe, and Greece particularly. And then, of course, Shem's family, which had been the lineage of Jesus Christ, they would have stayed in the Middle East. Iraq, Iran, Turkey, Israel, they would have stayed in those areas when they dispersed after the Tower of Babel. And, of course, you would have known that they would become the Israelites or the Hebrew people down the road here when Abraham would come onto the scene. But let me talk about briefly just a couple of these families. Japheth's family, you start to hear about them in the New Testament when you start to talk about the Greeks and the Romans. That would have been Japheth's descendants, right? When you read your Bible, you know a lot about the Greeks and the Roman Empire and those types of things. Those would have been his descendants. And then we see Ham. And I'm just going to put it right out there, and you can see on the screen, Ham was like a list of bad guys. You know, we learned about Canaan last week and the son of Ham and the things he did to his grandfather Noah, and he wasn't a very good person and maybe even evil. And we see in Ham's family, you know, even though Ham wasn't cursed, Canaan was cursed, and it's kind of a list of bad people, Ham's family is. And so we see that play out. And basically much of the Old Testament is going to be about the problems that we see between the family of Shem, the lineage of Jesus Christ, and the people of Ham. The wars that go on, the fights between the Israelites and the Canaanites and all those, the Babylon and all those things, they go on between those two family lineages if you trace things and look at things. And every once in a while, God will use the descendants of Japheth to take out and correct Ham's family, where those people will go to war in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And so we see that play out again and again, and this pattern is repeated often. When God's people fall away from him, he brings them into some kind of a way that he brings them back around. Sometimes it's through war, and sometimes it gets kind of ugly. But here's what I want you to look at. I got a couple key verses that I want to talk to you about this morning. The first one is in verse 8. You're going to notice you're reading along, and you come to this verse. And there's a pause. There's a little bit of a gap, you notice, in there this morning in the genealogy list. And we read about this guy called Nimrod, all right? How many of you have ever used that word in the wrong way? Right? Yeah, you might call somebody that's done something wrong, you Nimrod, right? I want you to know that actually does come from the Bible, all right? That's actually a biblical thing, by the way.
Because he's not a good guy, by the way. He come from the family of Ham, and he was a great warrior, the Bible says. Right, we get that in Scripture, but he is not a godly man. But he's strong, and here's another thing that he has. He has a great amount of influence over people in some way. If he's a smooth talker, he probably was a strong man, right? Physically a big guy, but he was kind of smooth. And he worked against God, and he drew people away from the kingdom of God. That's Nimrod. He built a lot of cities. Not great cities. And you've seen the list, right? Sodom, Gomorrah, all those types of things. You know the history of those cities. This is the type of man we're talking about here. When you first read it, you might think, oh, this Nimrod, he's a pretty decent guy, right? He's a great hunter before the Lord. But we're all before the Lord. And then we know more about him through history that he's not a very great guy. So when God tells us in Scripture, he breaks from the genealogy and he starts talking about this person called Nimrod as the mighty warrior on the earth, you need to take note of what's going on here in Scripture, of who this guy is. And if we know in Hebrew, the word Nimrod means let us rebel. Let us rebel is more or less what it means. I don't know how his parents knew that, but they must have figured that out in some way. So he's a rebel. He's against God, and he's leading people astray. He's influential. He's probably wealthy. He's powerful. He has authority over a lot. And so here's just a quick lesson I want to give you this morning. And how does this relate to you and I yet today in the church? Okay, I want you to think about that. Or in the world that we live in today, kind of put it in that frame in context this morning. Here's your first lesson this morning. We can learn that wealth and power aren't always a good indicator of our faith, are they? They're not always a good indicator of our relationship to Jesus Christ. Now, there's nothing wrong with wealth. There's nothing wrong with power, but if it's used in the wrong way, it can be devastating. You can find that in the world all over today. But here, sadly, you will also find it in the church. And it should never be a place in the church. Right? Sometimes politics come into church. Right? How many of you love politics in the church or in your community or in your school? That's a joy to be a part of, isn't it? Right? Yeah. That's not where Jesus wants us to be. And so we have to be careful. If God gives you the ability to gain great wealth, if God gives you the ability to have a place of power, and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, be careful that you use it in the proper way. Don't let it take away from the kingdom. Don't let it influence people for the wrong things. Be careful when you're in those situations, because that's what happened to Nimrod. And so how do we know that we're on the right track, right? Because if we don't want to be a Nimrod, how do we understand that, you know, what should our lives look like? And here's what I want to tell you this morning. If God's blessed you with power, if God's blessed you with wealth, the first thing you need to look for, if they're following Jesus Christ, is what does the fruit look like? What are they producing in their lives? What's going on in their lives? Are they following Jesus Christ? You know, Al, he always gives me such a great segue this morning when he brings his message about those two different eggs and the things that are going on in there. And what are people seeing in you? And I don't care if you have wealth or if you have power or if you're dirt floor poor. What does your fruit look like in your life as a Christian? Because God doesn't care where you're at in the social system. He wants to know where your heart's at.
He wants to know, what are you doing with your resources that I've given you? How are they being used to grow the kingdom? So don't be a Nimrod. I say that with love too, by the way. Right? Be careful that we don't fall into that trap. All right, let's move on. Everybody had enough of Nimrod? Okay, let's talk about two other key verses that we see in this genealogy list that I'm going to talk to you about. Verse 21 and verse 25 are the other two I want to talk about this morning. So let's begin with verse 21. And here's what it says. And if you read it, so to Shem also, and then it says, the father of all the children of Eber and the elder brother Japheth. Now why would he put, why in the sudden, we know that Shem's the elder brother, right, of Japheth, but why did that show up again in Scripture? Why do we have to be told that again? Somehow Shem and Japheth are linked again. Now remember, who are the two that covered up Noah? Shem and Japheth did, right? They worked together to take care of Noah in his drunken state in his tent. And Ham was the one that was going out saying, oh, look what happened to Dad. What a mess, da-da-da-da. And they went back in. They did what was right. And once again, we see this linking together as well. And let me remind you that through the lineage of Shem comes Jesus Christ. So keep that in the back of your mind. So we have this relationship. And here's what I want to, I'm going to stretch you just a little bit here this morning about what's going on. Think about where they live and what's going on in their families. The linking together is almost like a forecast when the Gentiles, we'll say Japheth's family, and some of Ham's family, which I truly believe that God works through all people today through his Holy Spirit, will once again be grafted into the vine of the seed of Abraham, Shem's family, through Jesus Christ. Now remember when Jesus was in the New Testament and he said, go out to all nations, including not my people, the Israelites, but also to the what? Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles today? All of us. Right? Do you see how that connection works in there? And I'm not saying that don't go away thinking, oh, all Ham's descendants, they're all garbage, and there's no way they can have, no, don't ever go there. Because we serve an amazing God who can bring salvation to people all throughout the world in amazing ways through the Holy Spirit. Salvation can be had, not only through the Jew, but also the Gentile. So God has a plan for you and I. Long before we are even born, that plan is in place. Isn't that amazing? You should take comfort in that today. It's a plan for you to be blessed. It's a plan for you to prosper spiritually. It's a plan for you to live with him in eternity, in heaven someday. Here's the second important thing I want to talk to you about in verse 25. We see this guy named Peleg. We're mentioned, we're told here, and then it says the earth was divided. And so to Eber were born two sons. Name of the one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided. Okay? Now, don't get hung up on this. This is pretty basic. This is not talking about when continental drift took place during the flood. Remember we talked about that a few weeks ago when God took the continent and broke it apart? No, this verse is talking about the people, that the people would be divided. The people would be dispersed throughout the world, and they go into their different regions and different areas of their lives. And let me give you just a few ancient cities. The ancient Chaldeans, or Chaldeans, said that Babylon began about 2234 B.C. That would have been about 13 years or so after the birth of Peleg that this city was found and formed. Ancient Byzantine historians tell us that Egypt began about 2188 B.C., or about 60 years after the birth of Peleg. Greece, which is settled about 2089, now I'm talking B.C. here, 160 years after the birth of Peleg. And you know these cities and these territories I'm talking about here that we have still today in the world that we live in. But here's what that means. That after the Tower of Babel, during the life of Peleg, it took Ham's descendants about 46 years to migrate from Iraq to Egypt.
And by the way, next week you're going to talk about Iraq. And I have some cool pictures to show you of the Tower of Babel, of somebody in our church that was actually there about 10 years ago. All right? So you're going to want to come next week and see that. It took Japheth's descendants about 145 years to migrate to Greece and to Europe. And they did according to language, because we know that they all spoke different languages. Now, I want you to think, well, how did that work? Okay? Now, how many of you live in a Dutch community today? Yep, everybody's shaking their head. Some of you aren't, but here's what I want you to think about. When America was founded, in the Reformed Church in America, which we're not a part of anymore, but we were, was formed in the late 1600s in New York. It was called New Amsterdam. And then, of course, the English came across and said, nah, we got to call it New York. But the people came across in waves throughout the years. And can you tell me some Dutch settlements that people knew each other, they all spoke Dutch, and they started to show up on this new wave of this new nation? And where did they settle in the world today? In America specifically, you could New Jersey, right? And then you move further east and where? Pennsylvania Dutch. Okay, now let's get to something we're more common with. How many of you have ever been to Grand Rapids, Michigan? Is there any Dutch living there, right? They got a town called Holland. Right? And then the wave come further east into Chicago area. And then they got into Iowa. And where did they gather up in Iowa? Starts with a P, people. Pella. Yeah. And then they came further west and they gathered in a town called Orange City. Because they all spoke the same language, didn't they? And they knew each other. So do you see how the descendants of Ham and Shem and Japheth, they talked different languages, but they all went to their areas, just like the Dutch did. And you can find the Irish and the Norwegians, they settled in different areas of the country as well, right? All based on their language and where they came from. Makes sense, doesn't it? So when God dispersed all his people from the Tower of Babel, they began to speak different languages, which we'll learn about next week. They all went to where they could communicate and talk with each other. They found comfort in that. You and I aren't any different today. You look at the different people, how we migrated in the United States. The same thing took place back then. Now, let me share one other important thing about Peleg, okay? What I want you to know about in the family of Peleg, his father was Eber. The root word for Eber is to wander, with an A, okay? Now, you know that from this line is the lineage of Jesus Christ, and if you go beyond Genesis 11, we start getting Genesis 12, which we're not going to go there because this sermon series will end here in a week or two, but then we start getting the life of Abraham. And they were nomads, right? God's people were. They were wanderers upon the earth, right? God told them, you need to leave your home country and you need to move on. And that's exactly what we get this forecast from Peleg and from his father Eber. And we see that Abraham's going to come on the scene here just after Genesis 11 with the Israelites and God's people. And they become nomads, wanderers upon the earth. So Genesis 10 is a recounting of God's people upon the earth. It shows us that we can trust him. It shows us no matter what, that he has a plan for you and I, and that we have a place in that plan. You still live in that plan today. God has a plan for your life. So may you be blessed with that today. Now, I just read you 70-some names. I don't expect you to memorize or know all those names, but you need to know that from those nations come you and I today. But we still serve the same Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you praise today for your word, for this list of genealogies, just a lot of different names, Lord. And we know that from there we also come. Lord, we are grateful for your plan. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, who forgives us our sins, Lord, that grants us eternal life. Lord, the promises of baptism, which we celebrated this morning, that you will be our God. May you bless your people today. Lord, may they be encouraged by your word and know that you have a plan for each and every one of us in our lives. May you see it to completion. May you bless us in all that we do. In Jesus I pray, amen.